do you think, Biggs? I heard you on the phone today. What do you think about him? What do you think about his leadership skills?
On me now?
What?
He'll be on the phone.
No, it said Brad Biggs on the phone from the trip. It was an interview. Well, I mean, the dude's gonna be cool.
But is there any? You know, that's what you guys said 2 days ago.
There's no concern. The dude gonna be cool.
And now he gets scoped.
Quote me.
Okay.
He gonna be good.
Okay.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs
with Molly and Hanley. Biggs time. The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Biggs. His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs now joins us on the Home Run Inn Pizza Hotline. Try one on the grill. It's quick and it's easy. You read him in the Tribune and you follow him on the National Football Post. And if Post.com, he's always breaking stories, so make sure you're on top of him with Twitter. Our guy Biggsy. Good morning, Brad.
Morning, guys. I have only been up for about a half hour. Any poetry readings this morning? Before I started listening.
No, Biggsy, we said the happiest guy in the world over the Urlacher news that he got the knee scoped should be Jamarcus Webb.
Well, he is up.
He's off our radar.
He is on Twitter. No, he's on Twitter. He's up. He said
the gold part for McDonald's.
Yes,
today.
He's gonna get some McDonald's and then he's gonna work out, which is always conditioning. He's got the day off, so he's gonna devote himself to a breakfast at McDonald's and conditioning. And then he's looking for a freebie from McDonald's. And let me be honest with you.
If he could rhyme that, I would be a little more interested in this. But
can you read the actual tweet there, Dennis? Can you just read that for us?
On his Facebook, he posted, "Wow, waking up early is a trip. We have the day off today, but I'm thinking of getting some conditioning in. First thing, breakfast. McMuffins, oatmeal, pancakes. I wonder if CEO Don Thompson will honor me with a McDonald's gold card. Do they have those? I need one. I'm loving it."
Wow. He's already looking for an endorsement. That's great.
But having said that, there aren't a lot of options in Bourbonnais, right? I mean, you do. It's not like there's nothing wrong with going and getting a little.
No, but he's hoping the McDonald's CEO gives him a gold card.
Searching for a freebie?
Yeah.
That may be Becky.
Hey, we're recording this for Peanuts' sake, too. So be careful what you say there, Biggsy.
Yeah.
Biggsy on the phone. What did you make of all this when you first broke the story yesterday? 12 hours or so after he told Lou Kanellis that he didn't have surgery, he was just going to rest the knee and it was going to be an ongoing issue throughout the season. What changed?
Well, there was probably a meeting involving Brian and the Bears medical personnel, and the decision was made that, hey, it's time for us to go in and clean this up and take a look at it because – like I've said now a couple times, certain players will go to any length to not have surgery. They will try anything to avoid surgery. And I think what the Bears did here is they tried the rest and rehabilitation, and it just wasn't responding. There was still swelling. There was still pain. When you have swelling in the knee, that's when you're going to have pain in the knee. So they said, you know, we can maintain our timeline here of getting you back before the regular season starts, or that's their best case scenario anyway, and get this taken care of Tuesday morning, and you should be feeling better real quick, certainly much sooner than he would have if they would have continued to try to rest it here, because obviously it just needed to be cleaned out. And these are minor procedures. This isn't a big deal. I think it becomes a bigger deal when you talk about a guy and you say, oh, they've scoped his knee for the third or fourth time. This is the first time Brian Urlacher's had his knee scoped, and I would expect him to be feeling better real quick.
You know, Brad, I guess as you talk about the timetable on this, and Lovey, of course, says that they're on schedule, whatever the schedule is, and
right.
I think what he means by that is the first game of the year. I don't know. Is it wrong to? I use the analogy of Ryan Dempster at the trade deadline, where you're kind of, you know, you're looking at the clock ticking, and you're listening in on phone calls, even though you're not supposed to, and then finally you agree, okay, well, let's get it done. It's like that they wanted. It's almost as if Brian wanted to kind of
weigh other options, try everything, and then, okay, here we go. We'll clean it up and we'll try to get to the season. And they are right on the clock on this one, right? It's a deadline-type deal.
Oh, no question about that. Guys have come back from scopes in a matter of 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. They've got a little bit more time than that, but on the outside range, you know, these kind of things can take 4 weeks or a little more than 4 weeks, and now we're talking about being past September 9th in that Colts game. So, yeah, they're right on the bubble here of getting him back. Certainly, I would be really surprised if he played in preseason because, you know, could he somehow get back for that final game against the Browns? Yeah, but based on the way Lovie treated the first preseason game, I don't expect to see any prominent players in the fourth preseason game. So I don't think he's going to play in the exhibition season. And you definitely want to have him out there doing a little bit of conditioning and a little bit of football work on the field before you go live against Andrew Luck.
Is it premature to even consider what this does long-term to Brian Urlacher's future with the Bears?
No, I don't think so, because he's 34, because he's entering the final year of his contract. Yeah, he certainly has been real clear that he would like to play football beyond the season. And if he can perform at a high level, I don't think there's any question that he will be playing football beyond this year. But he's got to come back. He's got to get on the field. And this knee issue has to be taken care of. This, you know, it's going to be a problem for him to play football in 2013 if he's got routine and regular maintenance on that knee. You know, teams are going to balk at something like that. So, are we near the end? I think you're near the end if you talk about any guy in the NFL that's 34 years old. I mean, you're getting closer to it. Are we at the end? I'm not ready to go there by any stretch of the imagination, because keep in mind, this is an athlete who's always been in superb shape. I mean, the guy just keeps himself in phenomenal shape year-round. So he had a back issue, remember, a couple years ago, and people started to worry about that, and it was a legitimate concern. And he took care of that thing, and he took care of it by just kind of changing the way that he prepared and with stretching and things like that. And so I'm not going to be surprised at all if this just ends up being a blip on the radar for him, and it's something that we forget rather quickly.
The impact of Brian Urlacher on this defense, you know, Lovie obviously is loyal to his players and has not really had great success without Brian Urlacher as a part of his defense. What does he mean to this team? What is the drop-off without Urlacher? How does life without him over these preseason games affect this team?
Well, they are much more confident in Nick Roach now to play middle linebacker in Brian's absence than I think they were in 2009. Nick Roach was the first person. Well, they got to Nick Roach quickly, I should say, when Urlacher had the freak wrist injury back in 2009. And Roach played 3 games at middle linebacker, and then they switched that up and they moved Hunter Hillenmeyer to middle linebacker and Roach back to the strong side. And Nick Roach's final game at middle linebacker was that game in Cincinnati when Cedric Benson got in the Mack truck and drove through the defense. So I'm not going to blame that on Nick Roach, and I don't think anybody should, but he wasn't as prepared for that role as he is now. They feel that Nick Roach is a very good football player. So if he can get everybody else lined up and in their position, that's his number one goal, because the middle linebacker is the traffic cop. And if the other 10 guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do, that's going to be a bigger problem than the middle linebacker not being Brian Urlacher, being a guy who athletically isn't as freakish as 54. But I think Roach will do a decent job. You know, the question you then have to ask is, okay, well, who's replacing him? And, yep, and right now it's Geno Hayes, kind of a journeyman. Does have starting experience in the league, so that's going to impact. I can only think of one guy on the defense, in my mind, that would be a bigger loss than Urlacher, and that would be Julius Peppers, because if you take the pass rush, what pass rush they do have away from this defense, you're crippling the scheme.
Is Nick Roach the heir apparent? I mean, if Brian Urlacher's not here next season for whatever reason, contract, this knee didn't hold up this year, whatever it is, and they part ways with Brian Urlacher, is that guy here yet, or would they even consider, moving Lance Briggs over to the middle temporarily till he figured out where, their next middle linebacker's coming from?
I don't think they'd move Lance Briggs to the middle because I think Lance Briggs gives them far greater value on the weak side, where his ability to play in space kind of has made him an elite player, a Pro Bowl player year in and year out. Would Nick Roach be the guy to take over in the middle? I suppose he'd be an option, but I would think that that would become a priority, not necessarily a greater priority than the left tackle situation, but a priority in finding someone to do that job long term. Again, if Urlacher comes back and this knee is fixed and ready to go, he could be the guy. Nick Roach had a scope in training camp two summers ago, guys, in 2010, and he came back in about 3 weeks' time, and he said they just went in, they cleaned it out, and it hasn't been an issue since. He's been good to go. So if Urlacher has a similar type experience, and no two surgeries are the same, but if Urlacher's experience is similar, this isn't going to be something we're talking about in late September.
Hey, Brad, as you look at the next preseason game rolling in here, obviously it's a situation where the third preseason game is the one that matters, but we will get a taste of Jay Cutler. There'll be a little dollop of Matt Forte. Will the offense be better just with those guys, with obviously the quarterback under center?
I think they're certainly hoping so. It was interesting in practice yesterday, guys. They did go for a solid 2.5 hours yesterday down in Bourbonnais, but it was without pads, and it was at a much slower tempo. It was almost, it wasn't a walkthrough, but it was, you could tell they were preparing, I think, for the Redskins. That was the vibe that I got. They were working on their stuff, but no pads, and then they're off today. And in the two practices before they played the Broncos, they were without pads preparing for that game. So I think they're making a concerted effort to have a much much cleaner, much more efficient showing against Washington on Saturday night at Soldier Field.
Well, everyone should start their day with a nice breakfast like Jamarcus Webb and enjoy the off day then, right?
Well, you got to get your conditioning in. And
maybe a little haiku. And
Wow.
All right, Bigsy, you're the best. Congratulations on breaking that story yesterday.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
You guys have a great day.
Take care,
Brad Biggs. That's Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune. You can read his stuff also at the National Football Post, nfpost.com. And he is always a Twitter and always with the breaking news. Nobody does it better than Bigsy.